Welcome to Mom's Art 2. I'm Mel.
And I'm Brooke, and we are two creative producers.
And moms.
Finding inspiration, connection, and the funny in life.
Because after all,
Mom's Art 2.
Silly. What? Ha ha ha. Silly.
What? On today's episode, we have a list.
Woo!
Yes, another list. But this is a list of five unavoidable laws. Unlike last week, where it's someone's opinion and someone's experiences, this is actual things that we cannot change, okay?
Science!
So, yes, like gravity. Although that's what I was going to say, is like, who really knows, right? Like, gravity was invented in 800 BC. No, I don't know when it was invented. Newton was probably, I don't know when, 500 AD. No, it's not AD anymore. It is CE.
Oh.
Now we call it CE. It is not AD anymore. And I thought it was what? After death.
Uh-huh. Before Christ, right? And after death. Preach. Preach, Melanie.
Preach,
tell us.
Preach. But here's the thing. If it was after death, he died at 32. So what happened to those 32 years from 0 to 32?
What happened?
Right. They're missing. Like the COVID years. We don't talk about those.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in the gospel, so they're documented. Anyway, moving on. I did start to go to church recently, so maybe that's what's going on. Ooh. No, but CE, I know, we'll talk about that alone. It's private, right?
You didn't burn it down, so that's good.
Not right? I didn't walk in and it burst into, or I burst into flames. The heathen is here. She believes in ghosts.
Not so, the holy one.
Throwing holy water at me. I mean, I do believe in witches too. So churches, I'm wading my way through church.
Look, make it your own.
So CE stands for Common Era, and AD stood for Anno Domini. And the Common Era is from the Gregorian calendar, and the Julian calendar is the one that did the AD. So apparently we're living in the Common Era. The Common Era.
Pretty common. I don't know.
So there are laws.
Is it gonna change after COVID? Like, is that gonna be the pivotal shift where now it's called something else?
AC after COVID.
Yeah, AC.
Now mm-hmm. we can do AD again after death. After the death of 4 million people.
Anyway,
moving on to our happy little episode. But no, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, there are things in this world that we cannot change, like gravity, yeah. Yes. But it's all what you do with them and then how you move within them. So we have this list of five unavoidable laws that we want to share with you so that you can remember to use them to your advantage in your life. Okay, make them work for you and not against you, like gravity.
That's right.
Or Botox.
Botox is anti-gravity.
That's right.
So see, things are evolving. Who knows if gravity is even going to exist in like 150 years?
I mean,
right? We'll be like, oh, that was so from Common Era. Duh.
Look at me floating.
Right. But it's so fun, and I'm excited for you to hear this. So it's pretty inspiring, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I think so. And don't forget that we do have the segment Blind to a Reader's Theater with the fourth scene from our oh-so-silly pilot, Awful. Melanie?
Awful.
Awful. That's the awful. Name. That's name. But it's really good. It's got incredible actors, so you need to stay until the end of this episode for this little cute, quick treat.
Quick treat.
If you're not caught up, though, you got to go back. You got to hear from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not something you could just come in on. You got to know what's going on because these two are trouble.
Yeah,
these two girls.
After this show,
so, yeah, after this, yeah, go listen, get caught up. All right, onto the show. All right. Welcome to another episode of Mom's Art. I'm Mel.
And I'm Brooke, and we are super excited to share this list with you, unlike last episode's list.
Yes, we have a list that is called Five Unavoidable Laws About Life. These laws abide in your life, whether you choose to acknowledge them or not. and you'll hear why. And I thought, well, that's nice. Like, it's it's comforting to know that there's just there's like basic things in this world that you cannot change, right? Like there's just basic, like there's safety in that. It feels safe. But you can decide kind of how they work for you. They're not going away, but how are they going to work for you, right? There's like safety in knowing that there are things you cannot get around, but it's up to you on how you approach them or use them.
All right. All right. Well, let's get into them. This? Yeah, because I didn't read them. Super prepared. That's good. And professional.
That, no, but that's good because I want to, I think it's good to get somebody's like first initial opinion on this. Like,
yeah,
because these things affect us every day, right? So here's the first one. We're going to get right to it, bitch.
Oh,
I'm not calling you bitch. I'm calling our audience.
I'm a bitch. It's fine. Okay. I'm the boss bitch, like bitchy boss.
And about the boss bitch.
Not like a bitch. The busy. Yeah.
Busy, busy boss bitch.
Yeah.
First one is Murphy's Law.
Yep.
We've all heard of this, right? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. So basically, it reflects the basic pessimism in life. No matter what you do, you will invariably make the incorrect choice at some point. It doesn't invalidate, however, that the outcome might necessarily be bad. So, meaning you can't predict the future, right? Like bad things are going to happen. That's fine. But it's the people who are going into something saying, oh, this is nothing's going to happen. I'm never going to make money. Oh, I'm never. It's too hard. Like that energy that you're sending out there, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. If you go into something thinking we're going camping, it's probably going to rain. The tent isn't going to go up. I don't know. I'm feeling stressed about how it's all going to go. What's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to go smoothly? This also goes to the thing of where I think the worrying about something ahead of time, the trying to predict the future, the what ifs are not going to suit you because then you're suffering twice.
Yeah.
If you do the work and you have the ability to come back from something, we all do. We all can bootstrap it. We all can get back on our feet. We all can come up with solutions. We all have that ability. Why are you going through the first phase of it with what ifs and struggles and worry that eats you alive? Deal with it when you have to deal with it. Otherwise, live in your moment.
Agreed. And it goes. What do you think? Well, it goes to that exact point. I think we talked about this even with the You Are a Badass episode.
Oh, no.
But like,
and not the dumb list. Yeah.
But where you, if that's what you're putting your focus on to this Murphy's Law point, then all that could go wrong that you're already thinking of, you're putting attention to it. You're right. Putting attention to it. It was interesting. I sent you a video today.
I saw
it. And yep. That's what he was talking about. He had, what is his name again? He's really famous, but
he's Mel's. No. He's used to be like kind of an evangelist. No, or no. Tony Robbins. Tony, he's Robbins. Mel Robbins' wife.
No.
They're not married?
No, they're not married. Huh. But in this video, he goes and has this person, like whoever his guest is, say, look around the room and like, look, how much brown do you see? And then I'll close your eyes. Mm-hmm. And now what did you see that was red? And they're like, oh, well, I wasn't paying attention. Like,
stuck.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, because that's not what you were looking for. You know? So now go around and look around the room. And what did he say? Like, it doesn't matter. The point
he said, now look for red. And he said, oh, now I see a bunch of stuff that's red because I opened my eyes and now I'm looking for red. And he goes,
yeah.
And now I see it. And then he said, so here's the thing. How many things were burgundy, but you made them red in your mind because you decided they were red because you wanted to feel successful?
Yeah.
Right? You didn't look at the burgundy and go, well, that's not perfect red. You looked at it and went, oh, all right, that's red, that's red, that's red. I'm taking those with me, those wins.
Yeah, and it is where you put your attention. Where your attention goes, your something grows. I'm really good on this episode.
Yeah, your pee-pee grows.
I got all the answers.
Where your something goes, your something grows.
Yes.
Everybody, please write in or go to the Blind Toe website to send us a message about what that actual
thing is. DM us.
We want to learn from
DM
you
us on my
DM.
No, but seriously, it's where you put your attention. So if you're going to put your attention towards like, oh my God, like it's going to rain and my tent's going to break and oh, it's just going to be horrible.
You're not going to sit back in the 30 minutes of sunshine. You're going to go, yeah, but it was raining earlier. I have this trouble with Cece where I'll be like, what did you enjoy about today? And she was like, well, the water was cold. And I was like, but you went to the beach. Like, I'm trying. It's hard, I think, and this is with Charlie too, it's hard with some people to point out their wins It's like, because sometimes people feel all life is suffering and it feels emotionally like they're preparing themselves, and that's easier. The problem is that preparing yourself, I think, can sometimes sit on your heart, and it doesn't really allow you to be present and like see the goodness around you.
Yeah.
I think we all kind of have to take a breath on a daily walk or sitting watching TV, and you feel the seat of your couch and it feels comfortable and you're like, man, I'm glad I bought this
and
couch.
Just like,
that's yeah. a moment. It's
and just
a
like
moment.
Jen Sincero said, like you put as much energy into thinking about what wasn't going right as you could mm-hmm. put that same amount of energy into all that's going, that is going right. Right.
Right.
So instead, like what you were saying with Cece, like, oh, well, the water was cold, but the sun was warm and your feet were in the sand and you were outside and you were at the beach. So actually, there were way more
that's
things
hard.
Going right than there were with that little thing.
That's right.
So that's interesting I had not looked at Murphy's Law in that way. I had always just thought that what can go wrong will go, you know, could go wrong. What can could, right? Or like, well, you know, it's inevitable. I'm going to, the one time that I, you know, go to the pool, it rains. Right?
Right.
I never looked at what could possibly be putting that out there, you know, or what could be making that even happen in those alternate universes, right?
Yeah. But it's also like, I think looking back on Murphy's Law, like we can, after something does happen, you can be like, well, what could go wrong did go wrong. Like the things that could go wrong, the car did break down, the da-da-da-da. So I think we're allowed to look back and call it Murphy's Law. But I think as we move through life, we have to be aware of Murphy's Law. I think we've used a lot of these as hindsight, a lot of these five laws as hindsight. And I think this is a time where we can start using them, that this is actually, if we're more aware of these laws, we can maybe manifest.
And did you find that the science, was there a science behind? Because I would love to know.
What do you mean? Behind Murphy's Law?
Yeah. Like what? Because, you know, there's, these are like scientific laws. Like what were the.
Yeah. These are actually by Edward A. Murphy Jr., Murphy's Law. So Murphy's Law is likely named after American engineer Edward A. Murphy, who died in 1990, first known as the first use of the Murphy's Law was in 1951.
He was the biggest pessimist that anyone ever knew.
He was a physicist. He was in, it was physics.
Okay.
All right. Next law. Are you ready for this law?
What's the law?
Kidlin's Law.
Kidlin.
If you can write Kidlin, K-I-D-L-I-N-S, Kidlin's Law. If you can write the problem down clearly, then the issue is half solved. The trick here is the word clearly. It means that you already know what's wrong, and by only fully understanding the problem, you can come up with a proper solution. So this, I think, is it says basically, it's sort of like when you go into AA, right? First acknowledging that there's a problem.
Yeah.
And you write it down and you have it in front of you. That's the beginning. And now you have, it's, you've acknowledged it. You can see it, right?
I like that.
Yeah.
And it is because the awareness is the first part, right?
Yeah.
As far as anything. It's like the minute that you start having awareness about it, then you know either how it affects you or how you need to change it or.
Yeah. It says the law is named after a fictional character in a novel by James Clavell. Clavell. How's your Clavell? the law emphasizes the importance of clarity in the problem-solving process. So Kidlin's Law is all about clear communication. So when you're faced with a challenge, it's easy to become overwhelmed and lose focus. I think sometimes that's the one-at-a-time method kind of thing, like one thing at a time. Write it down.
Yeah, or even lists. I have to get down on a list or I am so overwhelmed. Like I even have two whiteboards on my wall with like divided out of the different projects I'm working on, and underneath each one has different sticky notes of the things I need to get done. Not only do I have it there, but I also have it in my book, you know, that I take with me regularly so that no matter where I'm at, I see the list. So it doesn't become like lost in my head or problems I need solved too. Like how do I itemize that out and just start checking them off. Yeah. And having some grace on yourself if you don't get it on.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing is you're either looking at like how you're looking at your work as problem solving, right? These are things you have to get done. You have your list. These are things you're writing down to get done. They're problems that need to be solved. Also, looking at it as I have a problem with shopping, or I have a problem with feeling insecure when I go to parties or whatever it is. If I acknowledge it and write it down, I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think when you take it out of you and you look at it in front of you, it's really like, oh, that's not as scary. It's when it's alone inside of you that it feels scary.
Yeah.
Because you haven't really decided whether you want to acknowledge it or not. But when it's in front of you, you look at it and go, oh, that's, huh.
I think that's why journaling is so important. Sometimes just getting it out of your head.
Journaling.
Getting it onto paper. Yeah. And just your stream of consciousness and your thoughts kind of gets it out instead of it always being right here. And that's why we do this podcast.
Honestly, really, this is just so we can like face ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Gilbert's Law. I'm sure he was a special guy. Gilbert's Law. The biggest problem at work is that no one tells you what to do. And this deals with the day-to-day challenges that employers and employees have to face. When you're hired to do a job, it's your responsibility to find the best ways to provide the desired results. Being more literal, a job description is just that, a description. So where this comes from is 1837. He lived between 1837 and 1907. Gilbert's Law was Gilbert Lafayette. I don't know how to say that.
I love that you did the French version.
Lafayette. Like
from Hamilton.
That's kind of exactly what I was thinking of. But every time now I think of Lafayette in my head, he's a black guy, a really handsome black guy with big hair.
And so is.
Like Cece doesn't know that George Washington isn't black.
Because of Hamilton.
Because of Hamilton.
Her daughter.
She gets all of her history from musical theater. Yeah. Well, I really should not show her like Oklahoma or something, because then she's going to be like, what?
Her version, yeah.
Yeah. Or South Pacific. Which is like super racist now. If you ever go to it states that when you take on a task, you should find the best way to achieve the desired result. The law also emphasizes that life requires active problem solving skills, including critical thinking.
Yeah.
Which I think that's huge. The problem solving skills, which goes back to the Murphy's Law. If you practice Gilbert's Law, Murphy's Law won't bother you.
Ooh.
Right? They should have gotten together.
They really should have.
Well, they are. They're in this list together.
Isn't that cool?
And now they're in this podcast together. I'll bet they never knew that was going
to
happen.
I think that's a good thing to remember when you're going out for an interview, you know? Because they do put out these long, extensive descriptions and lists of like what your responsibilities are, what they kind of expect from you.
Yeah.
But then I feel like you get in there, or you at least, when you're applying or interviewing, I think the best thing to do is not only how you can do those tasks, but also in the face of things being different, or how maybe you would do them differently if you think that there's a more efficient way, to being able to like express that as well, as opposed to, because it is, once you get in there, they're leaving it up to you to know what you're doing and to get it done.
Right. Otherwise you have to be micromanaged. Nobody wants to do that.
I feel like school is that way too. College is that way too. You know, you get in, you get the information, and they tell you like you have to write a paper. But if you don't know how to write the paper, or like put it in the proper format, like scientific format or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to go figure it out yourself.
I think that's huge though. I think that's a really good lesson, because the problem solving and initiative taking, when you do, like you said, go in for an interview, you can list off all the things on the job description that you can do. But how do you stand out from the crowd is also showing how you can do those things and how you can problem solve to do those things.
Mm-hmm. Or add to it, you know.
Add to it.
Obviously, you're in that interview because they saw your application and realized that you can probably do those things.
Right. So don't just regurgitate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, definitely don't regurgitate in the office in an interview. That would be embarrassing.
Not a good job.
I mean, I think it depends on what kind of job.
If it's in the Valley.
Yeah. Maybe. Or President of the United States. Whatever. There's no qualifications anymore for that.
There's really.
Okay. Ready? Are you ready for the next one?
Yes.
Okay. Walson's Law.
Who?
Walson's Law. Walson, W-A-L-S-O-N. Okay. Walson's Law. If you put information and intelligence first at all times, then the money will come. A person who invests their time understanding the real-time dynamics of the market, okay, already has a fair advantage when compared with the competition. If you want to seize opportunities, learn to find them first. Mm. That is huge for me because I'm not just talking about the market, but learn how to seize opportunities, right? I need to learn how to find them first, like on Instagram. I just post. I'm throwing a bunch of shit out there because I'm like, I don't know how to do this. If I actually wanted to excel at getting people on our page or for Blind Toe, I would do the work to figure out what is going to hit. I would learn how to find them first and then go in, target, and seize the opportunity. I think that's huge. We just put out there, I want to be an actor. I want to be a whatever, right? And I think you have to learn how to navigate things first before you can just be like, I'm going to seize this opportunity. You have to be prepared. It's that whole thing of like, if like for actors, they say it's luck, it's skill, and it's knowing when you have an opportunity. But if you don't have the skill, the opportunity doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm taking away from Wilson or Walson.
Well, Walson kind of validates my way of thinking because, I mean, maybe I think I might overdo it a little bit and get stuck, kind of get frozen. But I do look and overlook and read and find out. And then I don't know that I sometimes then take jump upon all of the opportunities that come in front of me because then I have to like overthink it.
You're a learner. You're an information gatherer.
Yeah, but I think I get, and I enjoy it, but I think that I get frozen in the action sometimes. I've gotten better for sure. But again, those were a lot of self-limiting beliefs that I had about myself, you know, my worth or time or whatever. Which is different now. It's just different.
Walson. It is different. It is different. And you're amazing. Okay. Last one. Falkland's Law. F-A-L-K-L-A-N-D-S. Falkland's Law.
Falkland.
When you don't... Falkland.
I just want to say everybody's name.
No, that's good. That's good. I think you should repeat it. Falkland's Law. When you don't have to make a decision, don't make a decision. That is fucking huge.
So simple, but
so impactful. Simple. Yes. Troubling habit to follow. Wait, what does it say? This says troubling habit to follow if you find yourself overthinking about every aspect of your life. Oh, there's troubling habits to follow if you find yourself overthinking about every aspect of your life. To put this in practice, start with small exercises. Prepare your outfit the day prior. So when you wake up, you don't have to choose what to wear. So that's, I understand what he's saying there, but I like the actual law, when you don't have to make a decision, don't make a decision.
Yeah.
I like that he's putting it in perspective where it's like the night before, choose your outfit, because in the morning you'll feel like you have to make a decision. Yeah. But it's already done for you because you prepared. You didn't have to, you know, whatever. But I also like it as when you don't have to make a decision, don't make a decision, meaning I don't have to decide this right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's okay to be in that space of I don't have to decide that right now. I'm going to sit and listen, or I'm going to look up some stuff online, or I'm going to live in the world for a little while, and it's probably going to come to me. I just have to be patient with it. And because it's in my brain now, I might actually be looking for it.
Yeah. You still do the work, but you don't have to make the decision, right? You just kind of go with it and still continue with whatever process, you know, the work you got to do around it. But, yeah. It seems like it's all like a happy medium, like finding all the ways in which these laws can work in your favor, like not doing too much or not, you know, just, I think, again, it goes back to just living in the moment too.
Really?
You know, living in the moment. And if you see that, you know, that there could be trouble ahead, but you don't know for sure if that's going to be your lot, then don't stress about it. If, you know, right, you don't know what you should do, then maybe wait and listen, but keep doing the work and then make the decision when you know.
Yes. Clear.
You know, I think.
Preach.
Yeah.
I love this. You know? I mean, honestly, it's so good. I like that you shake your boobies when you were preaching.
Hey. Yeah. The spirit, here they are.
The spirit has got my boobies.
Ooh, more to the left. Wait.
Well, it's true though. I like your summary a lot. I feel like these scientists and philosophers and physics professors just talk too much. You, I think, are my best philosopher. Is that legal?
I don't know. And nowadays, sure, we can do anything on the internet and people right? will listen to us. You're listening to us right now.
Yeah, that was a dumb idea. No, but stay and listen to the segment 4 of our pilot Awful is going to play right after this.
Yes, stay tuned, but also know that all we're trying to do is dig and find and get better, and hopefully this, you know, provides you all with some inspiration and laughter.
A little bit of toolbox. Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, these things have been around for a long time and they're just set. Like, it just is, right? It isn't like some dodo coming up with it on the side of the road. These are like well-versed professors, philosophers, you know, I think that they're words to live by. And then you get to interpret them and use them to your advantage.
I love it.
Me too.
I love laws.
I love all the laws. Let's not do laws for a little while, though.
Yeah, no more laws.
Let's just live with the laws and maybe let's do something like...
Let's not make any decisions right now. Let's just...
Let's get a celebrity or two on here. How about that?
I love it.
I know. They're the best.
Now listen to Awful because it's awfully great. It's that time of the month where we share with you a scene from the pilot that we wrote during quarantine that has never seen the light of day.
Except by the readers from a script contest where we thought we were going to get first place, but we got feedback.
Now it's time for a Blind Toe production of
Awful. Hello, and welcome to the Mel Brook production of Awful. As you know, since the COVID, we think we can do anything from anywhere, as actors do. Since we wanted to work with all of our favorite people from all chapters of our life, we did a Zoom recording of the table read of Awful, and well, it sounds like it was somewhat recorded on Zoom. Listen, not everyone has a studio in their house, people. Some people have real jobs and have studios that pay for that shit. It's fine. Still, we hope you enjoy this installment of Awful by Melanie Lee and Brooklyn Sample, written in quarantine. Interior theater concession stand, night. The theater marquee reads the Rose Colombino Little Lady Theater presents the Gail Salucci production To Hope and Die. Mel, Andreas, Brooke, and Matt walk into the lobby of the theater.
I need a drink.
Me too. They immediately walk towards the bar, leaving the husbands behind, sarcastically.
I'm good. Yeah, they're gone.
Andres narrows his eyes at Matt and smiles. The girls carry on to the concession stand, leaving the boys to stand in the corner with their hands in their pockets, reading the room. Mel and Brooke stand shoulder to, well, bicep, almost frantically looking for their beer and wine choice.
We don't have...
In unison, they look at each other and take a deep breath. I'll just have water.
I'll have water, too. And a Coke.
Behind the concession stand stands Fred, a small, elderly gentleman. He slowly pulls their water from a cooler, placing them on a counter, sopping wet. Brooke digs through her purse. Mel looks on, physically tense, noticing the line growing behind them. The man went back for the Coke. Oh, I'll have a Coke, too. And M&Ms. No, the yellow ones.
Oh, I'll do milk duds.
At a snail's pace, Fred splashes down the two cans. He lays the candy in the small pool at the base of the drinks.
I think we'll need some napkins.
Fred gingerly turns to reach under the counter, disappearing for a few seconds. Mel and Brooke look at each other with panic. Fred reappears with a slight proud smile as he places two thin napkins down half in the water, immediately absorbing its capacity.
Maybe a few more?
A line is growing more impatient behind them.
Okay, what are we up to here? I've got a 10.
Let's see here. $1.50 plus $1.50.
The line is twice as long. The girls feel the pressure of the line and the slowness of Fred.
So that's three.
Brooke is visibly tense.
Just throw him a fucking 20.
Carrie!
The girls grab their items with snark and walk towards Carrie, catching up with the husbands. Carrie, now in her mid-30s, with a clear flair for fashion, is with her new boy toy, Kensington Lee, 22, tall, dark, and clearly has too many bones in his face. He never acknowledges Mel and Brooke. He just looks around the room taking attendance.
Hey, girls. Honestly, I knew it had to be the two of you. No one orders fucking candy at these things.
Kensington Lee grabs a fistful of Carrie's butt cheek. The girls look at their handful of concessions. Brooke shrugs. Mel pushes her candy off to Andreas.
This is Kensington Lee.
Kensington Lee avoids eye contact. They all start to speak uncomfortably, fumbling his name.
Kensington Lee. Kensington Lee? Oh, you remember our husbands, Andreas and Matt?
No.
Trying to engage her.
Then, nice to meet you.
Back at the old haunt, are we? Our little stars have returned.
Oh, hardly. Andreas, in an act of masculinity, grabs Mel's butt cheek and immediately regrets it. They all stare at him. He shrugs in shame. Carrie's already moved on.
Later, bitches.
They all walk towards the house entrance. Carrie moves towards the front row, greeting people along the way. Mel, Brooke, Andreas, and Matt quickly dash to their seats in the last row in the corner. Matt and Andreas sit in the outside of the two girls. The girls snuggle up to each other and settle in, ripping into their candy with peak anticipation.
I cannot believe Carrie still works so much. No one cares about her restraining order or anything.
Oh my God, she threw coins at a meter maid in front of Wahlberg and he cast her on the spot.
The house lights fade and the audience begins a smattering of applause. Gail, 60s, with white coiffed hair and bright red lipstick, flows out onto the stage wearing a baby doll dress and sequin jacket.
Good evening, my lovely thespians. Tonight is the night that everyone in the know, wink, wink, gets to see this delightful original work by an incredible actress, writer, director, painter, and shall I say, quite the choreographer, my daughter, Helena Gustafsson.
Someone from the audience yells, "Love you, Helena!"
Ah, her faithful fans.
Mel and Brooke side-eye each other.
Well, she has poured her heart and soul into this treasure, and I'm so humbled that you all came here tonight to show support of the Gustafsson Foundation and the Salucci family. I see you, Mr. Geffen. Thank you for bestowing us with your presence.
The audience laughs.
Well, now that I am blushing with all of this support and love, I shall leave you with this masterpiece.
Gale backs away a la 18th century Baroque nobility. Her spotlight dims. The audience applauds and cheers her name with whistles. Mel looks at Brooke with frightened eyes. Brooke rubs her hands together in anticipation. The house lights fade, and Brooke chews and sucks on her milk duds like cows could. Mel's misophonia triggers. She stares at Brooke with disgust. Lights go black, and the stage lights go up. Join us next month for another installment of Awful. Wow, you made it to the end of the episode. Now, go share this with your friends. Rate and review and visit blindtoe.com because you can't get enough of us.
You know what they can do on blindtoe.com? They can see what else we're working on and they can book us for their next project. So hurry up. So get over there. You should stop listening now, actually, and go to the website.
Pull over. Stop listening. Go.
Momsart2 at blindtoe.com. Blindtoe.com. You're not there. We're checking. We don't see anybody coming on.
Oh, there
yet.
You are. There you are. Oh, it's not you.
Oh, no, that's somebody else. Pull over. Let's go.
Come on. We're waiting. We got nothing else to do.
We'll be here.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Moms Art 2 is produced by Rob Adler with Brooklyn Frequency, music by Kai Sample.